Spoiler alert, who knew he was gonna be president?
Yeah.
Ugh. God,
Then we'll get in trouble.
I'm so sick of this spoiler alert shit. It's driving me nuts.
I think it is a respectable amount of time to wait, but I mean, the whole benefit of social media is that like global living room that like
Yeah.
we're all watching The Walking Dead together, and if you're not fucking watching The Walking Dead with us, then fuck off and don't go on social media.
Yeah.
Or don't be pissed at me because I can set aside an hour of my day to watch this and you have to wait a week to watch it. It's not my fault that it's not I so I have to censor my schedule.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's like, well, there's only so much we can do as West Coasters when we know that 3 hours in advance, everyone on the East Coast is going to be able to watch this stuff. So, if you're aware of stuff like that, you just avoid social media for a few hours on certain nights.
Yeah, like I have my friends like went away for like 3 days when Star Wars came out because they're like, I know shit's gonna happen, and it's like the one time the internet wasn't a fucking bunch of bag of dicks. It was like the one secret the internet kept was that Han died.
Yeah.
That's the one secret that like everyone was avoiding, and it was the one secret that they kept.
People kept the Red Wedding under wraps pretty well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was
So I.
I always thought that was the internet's best
Oh.
kept secret was the Red Wedding.
Yeah.
The
I think it
worst was
was.
when AMC spoiled. AMC itself spoiled Beth's death.
Someone got fired. But with the Red Wedding, I think as a book reader, I almost like I wanted to see people's reactions, so I didn't want to ruin it. I think a lot of people had that like, and people who read Game of Thrones are weird. Like they always like think they're better than everybody.
It's not like people couldn't have found out what the Red Wedding was, because everyone was talking about, oh, the Red Wedding's coming up, the Red Wedding.
Yeah, I asked Justin about it before I read the books. Like, I'm like, everyone's talking about this Red Wedding thing. Is this something I should know about? He's like, it's kind of a big deal. That tugboat captain knows how to kill off some people.
You guys ready to record this whole thing all over again?
I didn't care for it. I didn't buy it.
That seems pretty ridiculous.
I don't even want to think about the possibility of you having your dick out.
Yikes.
Is this the most important thing in the universe? What happened to it? I don't know.
I needed to suck in absolutely every moment of awesomeness.
Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, geeks of all ages, welcome to the Geek Legacy Podcast. I'm Justin Kavanagh. With me, as always, is Amanda, David, and Randy. How are you three doing today?
Good.
Obviously better than you with that voice.
I know.
I'm great. How are you doing? You sound like hell, no offense.
Yes, I have problems. I need some semen with codeine.
Ooh.
Ooh. I'll be there in 12 hours.
It's quite the trip, but it's worth it. Anywho, so aside from me being ill, there's some sad news. We have lost David Bowie. How sad. We're all big fans. We have all of his albums. Is that
And
true?
movies.
False.
Yeah, false.
Might have his
Does not mean
movies.
that I don't mourn his passing. It just
Yeah.
means that I was not a fan of his music or his art.
I have Zoolander. I don't have Labyrinth.
Oh, I have Zoolander, I guess. I do have Labyrinth.
What else is he in?
It came as part of my
The
Dark Crystal
Prestige.
research.
Oh yeah, he's the
Nikola Tesla.
Tesla. Yeah, I was gonna say the electricity guy. That's right. He invented the car, that goes off of batteries.
I don't think that's accurate.
Solar power car.
Nope, I don't think that's true.
Well, it's not solar powered.
It's battery powered. The batteries are powered by the sun. The same sun that was used in the Star Killer.
Well, it didn't work out so good for them either.
No.
It's a pretty powerful sun.
Yeah. I like The Prestige. That's a good movie.
He was in The Last Temptation of Christ. He was,
Oh man, he was not Christ. That was Willem
no,
Dafoe.
he was Pontius Pilate.
Ah, the guy that washes his hands.
yeah, bad the villain if there is one.
Yeah, he's just a quitter. Anywho.
What was Scorsese thinking?
I don't
I want
know
to make
that.
a movie about Christ.
That's a sad movie though. It's not nearly as bad as that snuff film.
Temptation.
Yeah. No.
That movie is hard to watch. Last
Passion
Mission
of the
Yeah,
Christ.
Passion of the
Passion.
Christ.
Yeah. That movie's hardcore. But
Yeah.
anywho, I feel bad.
Brian in the beginner.
He lost his battle to cancer. That fucking C word. That is the worst of the C words. What can you do?
Be happy.
Life goes on.
Didn't he make that Don't Worry, Be Happy song?
I don't think so.
Yeah, well, the Jamaican guy, that's David Bowie, right?
No.
Don't worry, be happy.
That is not correct at all. Robin Williams is in that video, though.
He was? And he's also passed away. That video has killed two people.
That's Bobby McFerrin, by the way.
That's not David Bowie?
No.
That he handsome
did,
black gentleman?
He did the Let's Dance song. And the one about the Chinese girl making the railroads and
getting blown up.
Under Pressure. He did that with Queen.
Wasn't that? I thought that was the Vanilla Ice song.
Yeah. No, there's goes.
Beat off.
Ding, 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 ding. Ours goes. Ding, 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 ding.
What a every asshole. Time. How are you even going to be there? It's like, ours goes. Ding, 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 ding.
Yeah, that guy is a very bad man. Was he ever on Dancing with the Stars?
I don't believe so. No. I think he has a shred of dignity and integrity.
So. Oh, yeah. You got to be like a D-lister to be on that show, huh?
Yeah, you got to be like Carlton from The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air to get on that show.
Is he on Dancing with the Stars?
He was on a season of it.
Oh, man. Did he do the Tom Jones?
No, I don't watch the show.
Oh. You strike me as the kind of guy that would watch Dancing with the Stars.
And what about me strikes you that I would watch
Dancing with the Stars? You love reality TV.
I love one reality television program.
Oh, you watch Amazing Race, you watch fucking Biggest Loser, you watch fucking Survivor, you watch all that
I watch Survivor. Survivor is my favorite show on television. It's the only reality show I watch with any kind of frequency.
Mm. And The Biggest Loser, and Amazing Race.
I don't watch
the Road Rules versus Real World.
Okay, I take it back. I do watch The Challenge. Okay, they got two reality, and that one's barely a reality show. That one's heavily scripted.
You're into that shit.
I am way into that shit. I'm not gonna lie.
But
I listen to podcasts about it, Justin. That's how bad it is.
I'm not even remotely surprised.
If you went on my Twitter feed right now, you would see I had this long interaction today with like these two co-hosts on like a Road Rules Real World Challenge like podcast.
Oh my god. That is awful.
It's amazing.
The only thing that you love more than Road Rules versus Real World is the Star Wars.
I do like the Star Wars.
And since for like the last, I don't know, 176 episodes, we've began this podcast with Star Wars talk, we might as well jump right back into it.
You kind of ruined it with a sad Bowie news.
I didn't ruin it.
We go right into Star Wars.
David Bowie ruined it. He ruined everything. What a legacy. Bowie, man who ruined everything.
The Geek Legacy podcast will never be the same because we didn't start our 400th episode in a row with Star Wars.
I'm going to blame me losing my voice to that fucking guy.
Just edit that first part out.
All right, I will. David Bowie,
yeah.
You're done. You have no part in this podcast.
You'll never make out of this town, kid.
No, we're never going to have you on this show. Go fuck yourself.
Yeah, we probably will. One day we'll have guests. And we'll have Bowie on one day.
All right. He can be the first
from beyond.
Ghost. Yes, he can be a force ghost of David Bowie.
Oh.
Yeah.
Did you know it?
That'd be pretty sweet. He's going to be in episode 8.
There was talk of him being in Guardians of the Galaxy 2, I guess. But that's not going
to
happen.
Yeah.
Anywho, let's get to the good stuff. The real meat and potatoes.
Like episode 8 being a darker film?
What? You mean just like how Empire Strikes Back was a darker film?
Exactly. Just following the formula of just copying the original trilogy. It's John Boyega. He's just starting to get some information about what his character Finn will do in Star Wars episode 8. It's important to remember that episode 8 comes out May of 2017. So it's less, it's a year and a half away, It'll probably get pushed back to December since Force Awakens did so much money. But, at this moment, we're, 17 months away from, 16 months away from episode 8. And, so he's saying it's going to be a darker film. I think everyone anticipated that it would be a darker film. Ryan Johnson, who's going to direct it, is kind of a darker filmmaker. He's a little more character driven. So Empire Strikes Back being what it is, I think everyone assumed the second film would be the darker turn. I don't know how you go darker than killing Han Solo. But, yeah, so, Randy, what do you think? What can go darker than, basically murdering, destroying a planet full of the government and killing one of the most beloved characters in the history of fiction? Where do we go from here?
Well, I think a dark turn that we could see that would kind of make us as the audience lose hope is to see Luke Skywalker in doubt, to see him maybe come off of that island but still be completely ineffective, or maybe he refuses to leave, you know?
Yeah, what if he's like a total dick?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's
the fucking asshole.
Did you see the meme where he's holding out the lightsaber? She's holding out the lightsaber, and he's like, there was a hand that came with
it. Yeah, did you bring the hand? There was a hand, too.
There was a hand, too.
That's awesome.
That is my favorite.
Oh, that's right. He lost that lightsaber.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
I forgot about that.
You know, something Felix said when we had him on the Star Wars podcast has really been sticking in my craw. And he has, like, he made the best point about, like, is it in Luke Skywalker's character to just tuck tail and run when the galaxy is in such peril? And I know we don't want to get into this, but it really made me think, and it's kind of hindering my expectations for Luke Skywalker in this new trilogy, that, like, he just kind of pushed out. Like, it just kind of makes me sad. So maybe the darker turn is, like, he continues to be, like, a wuss. Would that make you sad, Justin?
Yeah, that would make me really sad. I think it's absurd. I think that, I don't know, I was kind of putting some thought into this, too, and that because we've seen Luke dabble with the dark side a little bit as far as the force choking and just the pure anger that he has when he's fighting his father, spoiler alert, in Return of the Jedi.
Good catch, Justin. Good catch.
For those of you who didn't catch it in the last 32 years since it was released.
Yeah, you never know. People get offended with spoilers these days.
New fans, man. New fans.
You know, he's very upset when he's fighting his father. And maybe Luke was the one that went to the dark side first, and maybe he killed all the Knights of Ren or whatever, and maybe that's what got Kylo Ren, got his juices flowing. Maybe he wants to finish.
Yeah, maybe
what Luke
he's
started.
Ashamed because he actually was the one who lured Kylo Ren to the dark side.
Yeah.
Maybe. And then he tried to back off, and then Kylo Ren's like, "No way! Actually, I'm into this shit."
Exactly.
I got these. And then it was too late. We're gonna kill everybody.
Yeah. You know what would make your lightsaber even more sweet, Uncle Luke? If it was red.
Yeah. Uh-oh. All the cool kids have red lightsabers.
Although
my buddies, the Knights of Ren.
That green
who
is
I
always,
hope aren't dead.
That green has always been a turn-on for me. I love the way that looks.
Mm.
When he first turned that shit on in Return of the Jedi and it was green, I was like, oh my god, that's so cool.
What like a third color?
Yeah. Holy shit, I thought that was incredible.
Yeah.
But anyway, that's my two cents. Luke already went to the dark side, and now he's trying to get away from it.
Well, hopefully Leia can bring him back. There was a picture floating around with Princess Leia on it. It's like a friendly reminder that Leia has lost her adoptive parents, entire planet, father, husband, son, and been abandoned by her brother, and yet has never been tempted by the dark side once. Take note, Skywalker boys.
She is a rebel.
She is.
She's defying the government.
Yeah.
She's bad in her own way. From a certain point of view.
From a certain point of view.
As Kenobi would say. She's a defiant little bitch.
She tried to pawn her droid off on me once.
But that is an interesting point. Yeah, she is a very strong character. She's always there. She's leading the resistance. She's a big deal. She doesn't get enough credit.
Yeah. I mean, do we want... You know, Empire has two pretty distinct storylines. You know, once they get off Hoth, it becomes, you know, the Luke on Dagobah story and, you know, the Han Leia throughout the galaxy kind of story ending up on Bespin. Do we want... I mean, I love the new characters and I love how they kind of interplay off of each other. Or I should say that I love how they all interplay well off John Boyega, since Oscar Isaac and Daisy really didn't have any real scenes together. But do we want them separate again? Like, do we want, like, a Rey and Luke story, like, to take up, like, almost an entire movie and then... the resistance, or do you think they can do it in a story function, a narrative way, to just bring everybody together early? Amanda or Justin, I heard you breathe. Justin.
Well, yeah. So I was just gonna say, Empire Strikes Back is two very different stories playing parallel to each other. You know, you have Luke and Yoda doing one thing on one side of the galaxy, and then you have Han, Leia, Chewie, and Lando on the other side with Vader, where all the conflict is. You know, you take Luke, who's the hero of the story, he's out of it altogether while all this horrible shit is happening. So it's two very different things happening at once, and it plays out perfectly, and then they clash together at the end. And I think that's what makes Empire so special, is that you're getting two movies in one.
You know, you could almost look at that the way when Luke was hiding out on Dagobah training with Yoda, out of it while all the action is going on with his friends elsewhere, that's exactly how it's been for the last 10 or so years since he disappeared. He went out to maybe continue his training, leaving his friends out in the rest of the big bad galaxy to find their own way.
Right, so it's basically...
I'm
sorry.
No, I was just going to say, it's almost kind of like a retelling of what happened there in Empire.
Right. He could have run this, like, villain.
Yeah.
I mean, he's the best equipped to take him down.
He needs to keep an open line of communication. I don't like how he just disappears. I think he should have definitely told his sister where he was. It's fucked up.
He's like one of those guys you go out with once, he bones you, and then you don't hear from him for like 3 months, and all of a sudden, you know, like 3 a.m., you get a text, hey, what you doing?
Yeah, he's rocking out to Free as a Bird with fucking X-Wing and shit.
You get a text like, you up? Question
mark. You up to get down? Yeah.
I think it would have been cool if he would have been, like, abandoned on there. Like, if, like, Snoke or, like, someone, like, just, like, we can't kill you. Like we can't defeat Luke Skywalker, but we can sure as shit drop you on this planet with nobody and, like, there's nothing you can do about it. That'd be kind of a cool story.
It was a race. It's like, last one to the X-Wing is stuck on the island. Ha ha.
Yeah, I mean, that could actually, there's merit to that, because if it's a planet with, like, no technology and no indigenous life beyond, like, wildlife, you know, that kind of thing, animals, and if it is one of those sensitive, like, one of those planets that's kind of Force-sensitive, like Dagobah, where you can shroud somebody's existence there because the entire planet just reeks of the Force, then that'd be a really good way to hide Luke, to essentially banish him, exile him.
Yeah, but, okay, so Kenobi, he was dead, and he was able to talk to Luke, you know, just while he's flying his little spaceship around. So, I mean, I don't see why Luke couldn't use his Force powers to communicate with Leia in some way. Like, hey, come get me. I'm out of gas.
Because, I mean, he's done that. In Empire, he kind of does that to Leia. You know, they're leaving, and he's like, no, come back.
Yeah, but they're still on the same planet. They haven't even left they haven't left the atmosphere yet.
Yeah.
Like, but I'm just, in my mind, I feel like Luke, maybe I'm just giving Luke too much credit, but I feel like he is just a total demon on wheels, and I feel like he should have the power to be able to communicate with Leia.
Yeah, I think if he wanted to be found, he could have been found easy.
I mean, A, they're twins, and we all know twins have some super secret language that they have with each other. And B, they're both Force sensitive. And D, let's jump around. A two, and D.
I don't know if you peeked in the novelization that I sent you guys, but there's kind of a play on that, to where near the beginning, Leia's like, you know, why can't I sense Luke? I used to always be able to sense him. She's like, I know he's not dead because I would have felt him die, but I used to, you got the impression that she basically could always feel where he was, that Luke is going out of his way to shield his presence from her and has been doing so for a long time.
So he doesn't want to be found. So I think he's ashamed for what he did.
Well, if he didn't want to be found, then why did he leave a goddamn map in R2-D2?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's stupid. Save that one for people that defend this movie.
Yeah, the novel also tries to explain that. Like, so all of a sudden R2 wakes up. It was like he was in low power mode, like, and he could hear everything. And like, at one point, someone says, Ray says that the First Order found the other part of the map in the Imperial Archives, and R2 realizes that he has a copy of the Imperial Archives, and that's how he finds it and wakes up.
He just has a copy of the Imperial Archives.
He's R2-D2.
Yeah.
I don't like, it's kind of like Batman. Like, you just don't question it. Like, I buy that.
He's plugged into a lot of outlets.
Yeah, he got around.
Yeah. Even 3PO gives him shit about, you know, trusting computers.
Yeah, trusting strange computers.
Yeah.
He's like, don't go putting that in anything.
Yeah.
He's like, you better double bag that shit.
Yeah. R2's a curious little guy.
He is.
So you're going to get a disease. Speaking of diseases, do you think young Han Solo got around before he got tied down with Leia?
Yes, going from port to port.
Sure.
I bet he liked to get down. So now we all know that. So we got Rogue One coming out this December. Then we got Episode 8 coming out next May. But the following May, we have our second anthology film, the Young Han Solo film. Obviously, Harrison Ford can't play a young Han Solo, so they have to recast. So, first of all, I want to get you guys' take. Like, do you care to see a Han Solo movie, and do you want to see it recast, Amanda?
I don't care.
Nah?
I don't think it would be the same. I mean, they could try, but Harrison Ford has a very specific, like, demeanor, I don't think it can be replicated.
I don't know. Let me change your mind here. Your favorite actor, Miles Teller, is on the short list.
No,
young Han Solo. What do you think about that?
If he's cast, I'm not watching that movie.
Oh. Ouch.
That's rough.
That's that.
Can't stand that guy. Ugh.
What about Dave Franco from Neighbors?
I don't even know who
James Franco's
is.
Brother.
Yeah, so he looks like James Franco. Is that
he
it?
Looks exactly like James.
Pass. Like young...
All right. What about Logan Lerman? He was in The Perks of Being a Wallflower. He's also Percy Jackson. Eh?
Ugh, gross.
Even worse, right?
Yes, let's go with the most milquetoast white men we can possibly find. That
well, did you
like
see
a
Fault
great
in Our
Stars? Idea.
Did you see The Fault in Our Stars?
No, because it's about people, teenagers dying of cancer.
Oh,
I don't need to watch that shit. I got enough of it in Walk to Remember?
Oh, with Mandy Moore. That's sad.
Yeah.
That is a sad movie. I cried.
That's 10 times sadder.
I cried so hard when that movie ended. That was rough.
I told you not to fall in love with me.
Oh, yeah. You went and did it. You said
so much.
Maybe they should get Shane West to be on Solo.
I don't know. Well, Ansel Elgort, who was in The Fault in Our Stars,
nope.
He's also in the running.
Nope.
So
nope,
is Jack
nope.
Raynor. For you Transformers Age of Extinction fans,
didn't see that.
He was the boyfriend of Mark
Wait,
Wahlberg's
was he Kick-Ass?
Daughter.
No.
Oh.
He's the guy that said, I'm not helping you save your daughter, I'm helping to save my girlfriend or whatever.
Yeah. The worst.
Dick.
Like,
what an
asshole. This list makes me so sad. And then there's Emery Cohen from Brooklyn and Blake Jenner from Everybody Wants Some. And with the exception of Emery Cohen, because Brooklyn is a pretty fantastic movie, he's pretty good in it. Everyone else on this list is kind of like, no.
Why did they just get Zac Efron? Jesus.
Ooh. I like Zac Efron.
I like Zac Efron a lot.
The guy that I wanted was Jensen Ackles, but he's already too old. He was born in 78, so he's 37. But I think he is dynamite. He's the one.
Well, wasn't Harrison Ford in his late 30s when?
Yeah, but they want a young Han Solo.
Oh, right.
If it was just Han Solo from fucking 30 years ago, then sure. They want pre-Star Wars.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there's a movie called Age of Adeline that starred Harrison Ford, and it's Blake Lively's character never ages, and so she meets the young Harrison Ford.
I saw that movie.
I can never remember the kid's name who plays the young Harrison Ford, Anthony Ingruber, but he looks exactly like a young Harrison Ford, and
yeah,
he'd be the best choice.
It's cool, too, because if you actually look him up on YouTube, there's a bunch of videos that he's done where he does a Harrison Ford impression, just like the voice and everything. He's got the look down, and he's kind of getting the voice and the mannerisms, too. So there's an online petition to try to get him on that short list for the young Han Solo movie, because he looks the part for sure.
Oh, absolutely. But he's not on the short list.
Yeah.
So we'll see. You know, rumors are that they're kind of getting this list out. You know, production doesn't start for another year on the Han Solo movie, but that they might want to squeeze him in Rogue One, which would excite me to no end. What about you, Justin? What do you think about that?
What's the question?
What do you think about that, Randy?
No.
Pay better attention?
No. Did you want? What do I think about him being in Rogue One? Is that what
you
asked me?
Just like a little tease at the end or something.
Yeah, I guess if it was the stinger, that's fine. But
in the old expanded universe, Han Solo's backstory was that he was a pilot for the Imperials.
Right.
He had gone through the entire academy, and then he ended up defecting from the Empire. And here we are coming out of Force Awakens, where we see a stormtrooper defecting from the Empire. So it's like, now, are those stories too similar? Are they going to need to come up with a new backstory for Han Solo? Or are they going to go with the one, or something similar to the one that was pre-established? Right. Now, since
Han's backstory is canon, he is an Imperial defector still.
Okay, and was it Wookiees being mistreated that made him defect?
Yeah, his protection of Chewie is what led to him leaving, because the novels for the original trilogy are also canon. And it's established in A New Hope, when they talk about Chewie, that Han was a former Imperial ace.
Okay, so that all these guys go in to go murder a bunch of Wookiees, and he says, "No, I can't do this. This is terrible." And then he saves Chewbacca.
They use the Wookiees as slave labor, and there's an Imperial officer that's whipping Chewbacca at the post, and uh-huh. he kind of belts him. He has no intention of saving Chewbacca. Like, he hits the officer and says this is wrong and walks away and gets kicked out of the Imperial Academy or kicked out of the Empire. And Chewie just follows him around. And for the longest time, he wants nothing to do with Chewie. Like, he's like, dude, I don't need your trouble here. And then eventually, obviously, Chewie proves his worth. These anthology movies, we always wanted to be these, like, kick-ass standalone films. You know, there's heavy rumor that Vader will be in Rogue One. And now, if Han gets included in Rogue One in some way, are they almost... Do you feel like they're maybe relying too much, or are they just trying to give, like, connective little breadcrumbs to, like, fan service?
Honestly, I don't think they can have Han in it in any kind of big way, unless it is, like, a little stinger at the end of the credits just to tease the standalone movie, because this is taking place so close to the time period of the events of A New Hope. He would need to be closer to the 35-year-old Han Solo that we were first introduced to in the first Star Wars.
Yeah.
You know, we're not going to be able to see him as the young 20-something that they're going to be concentrating on in the standalone film. So I just don't think he's going to be able to serve any kind of larger role in the story. I think the only way they can do it is just some sort of little tease towards the end there. I don't think he can play a larger role, simply just because of the logistics of age. Sure, they could age him, what have you, but I don't know.
Right.
I don't think the movie needs that. I think it's a gimmick, too. It's cool to have Vader as the villain, because, you know what, at that period in time, it makes sense, because he was the chief badass. But you don't need Han Solo around at that point. Let this new cast kind of come into their own on their own.
Yeah. Well, the expanding universe, it doesn't exist anymore. You know, Han was tangentially involved in stealing the Death Star plans, but those books no longer count, I guess. It was Han's girlfriend who stole the Death Star plans.
I remember hearing that, yeah.
Yeah. And
the reason
that Lando doesn't like Han or trust Han is because, you know, it was his girlfriend and a girl named Bria, and she convinced Han to have all of his smuggler brethren go on this mission that they thought was to, like, take down this hut, and they were going to get all this money. But in reality, she was going there, and
she was a rebel sympathizer.
Yeah, she took all the money to give to the rebels.
Oh, well, that's
to help fund the rebels, and left Han holding the bag. And so Lando had vouched for Han with all his buddies, and so Lando looked like a dick. And so that's why Han is afraid to see Lando in Empire Strikes Back.
Man, chicks suck. Am I right?
Yeah, they do. The worst.
Bitches would be crazy.
They are a little bit crazy, but
why bitches be crazy?
They are. Hey, Rand, you watch Rebels? You said Leia was going to be in Rebels.
Yeah. So apparently, in the new season of Rebels, we are going to have an appearance by a young Princess Leia. And so far, really, all they've released online is just a single still image of her appearance, and it looks pretty good. I mean, for a CGI adaptation of a 19-year-old-ish Carrie Fisher, it looked pretty darn good. I'm just curious who they're going to have do the voice for it, because although they did bring Billy Dee Williams in to do the voice for young Lando, I don't think it's going to work without heavy modification, because Carrie Fisher sounds so different now than she did back then. So this might be a good opportunity to get her daughter in on the action, since she was in The Force Awakens. Maybe she can voice a young Carrie Fisher. Or who knows, maybe they'll just get a standard voice actor. I don't know. But I don't think they're going to be able to bring Carrie Fisher back for the role. But I'm excited to see it. I think it's cool. Hell, I'm all for getting anybody we can show from the original trilogy in Rebels. Let's see what a tween Luke Skywalker is up to on Tatooine.
Ooh.
Can I ask a question?
Sure.
Is Jimmy Smith's royalty in episode 3?
Yes.
Yes.
So he's a king?
He's a senator. He's a senator at that point in time. I don't know if he's quite royalty yet. I think he was working his way up the Alderaanian food chain.
So, like in Naboo, the queen is elected. Is it the same way on Alderaan where their royalty person?
Don't know the answer to that question.
Like, why is she Princess Leia? I guess
they're a monarch in Alderaan has a monarch, and it's not like. Naboo is basically she's the queen, but she's an elected queen. To where Naboo has a queen who rules the world, and then they have senators that they send to the capital. To where Alderaan sends their king as their representative to the Senate.
Oh, that's interesting. He never wears a crown.
Yeah,
king's
or like a sash or anything.
Oh. Yeah, so they want the person speaking on the matters for their planet to be the leader of their planet. To where like Naboo or other you know aristocratic countries or worlds usually send a separate representative so the king or queen or whoever can stay on planet. For whatever reason, Alderaan's different.
Well, in A New Hope, she's on a diplomatic mission.
She is.
But how come the king isn't on this mission?
Sent the princess. Mm. What a good dad. He's like, those are super... No, she's in a case of being in the wrong place at the wrong time. The Tantive IV just happens to be going over a planet where Han Solo's girlfriend, who has the Death Star plans, sees a friendly ship they can send the plans to the Death Star to before they're all overrun and killed. Mm-hmm. And Princess Leia or Captain Antilles gets the information and then hauls ass, but Vader and the Vindicator are already there, and that's when the chase takes place that we see at the beginning of episode 4. Sorry for the ultra nerd explanation.
And Captain Antilles is on that cruiser when the Empire takes it over?
Yeah, he's the one who gets thrown across and killed. Yeah,
that's stupid.
Tear the ship apart. He's also the one that Bail Organa tells to mind to wipe the droids' minds in The Revenge of the Sith.
Mm-hmm. That's one of those what goes around comes around.
Yeah, not related to Wedge Antilles. Apparently Antilles is just like
the Smith. That's the Smith.
He's the Smith of a galaxy far, far away.
That's too bad. Like much like Skywalker, right? Because why else wouldn't Obi-Wan rename Luke?
Yeah.
Why keep the last
Who name? Applies to the Imperial Academy?
Right. Red flag.
Yeah. Submitted my application to the Imperial Academy. Yeah, that would probably set off a red flag somewhere. Skywalker, that sounds familiar.
No.
Especially that's my last name.
When every asshole hears the same last name, they automatically assume that there's a relation. Like, remember in Office Space when she's like, Michael Bolton? Hey, are you related to that singer guy? It's like, hey, why would they have the same name if they're related? It's so stupid. But Skywalker's pretty uncommon.
So maybe you should just change your name.
Yeah. What can you do?
I agree.
Now, you were saying something about the two directors were going to be working together, the Episode 8 director and the...
Episode 9?
Yeah.
Yeah, Rian Johnson, who's directing Episode 8, and Colin Trevorrow, who's directing Episode 9, are crafting the story of... are working closely together to make sure the stories of Episode 8 and 9 really weave a cohesive tale. It's important to note that neither one of them were involved in any way, shape, or form with Abrams during the production of Episode 7. They were brought on late into production, and they had no input on story, but they're basically being given the reins to do 8 and 9. Abrams is going to be an executive producer, but it's pretty much agreed that he's going to be a pretty hands-off director or executive producer. And so it's kind of interesting that they had Episode 7, and now they have 8 and 9, and it seems like 8 and 9 are a pair, but 7 is was kind of like this table setter. So in a way, it almost feels like they made 7 safe to get people enthused about Star Wars, and I'm hoping that means they're going to hit us with 8 and 9 with something special, because Rian Johnson, he directed Looper and a couple other really dark films, and he's amazing at that, like, character dynamic, you know, the getting great performances out of great actors and having amazing interplay between them. And then Colin Trevorrow did Safety Not Guaranteed, and then obviously Jurassic World last year. So he's kind of a fun guy. so it sounds like they'll make like the dark film, and then we'll get our Return of the Jedi with Colin Trevorrow tour. Yeah. He'll like wrap Ewoks. It up. And it's like, yeah, I hope so. People hate on Ewoks.
I love Ewoks.
Love them. They're adorable. But I mean, what does that sound weird, Randy? You know, from a story point of view, that they weren't involved in 7, but they're kind of thrust upon 8 and 9. Is this just something that Kathleen Kennedy is going to kind of take the reins on?
Yeah. Usually, when you're let's look at it like this. I think when Lucas made the original A New Hope, he was just really hoping it was going to take off, but he didn't know in the back of his mind whether or not it was going to have the popularity to make a sequel. So he made a good standalone movie, and I think J.J. went into it with that same mindset. I'm just going to try to make a good standalone movie that gets people excited about the franchise again. And I kind of cringe when I call it a standalone movie, because that ending with Luke is incredibly wide open and it's just weird. But I think that was his thing, without giving a whole lot of consideration to what was going to happen in 8 and 9. I still think it can come together and be a cohesive story, and I'm happy to hear that they are taking it darker, that they are going to be hopefully taking more risks with it. In my perfect scenario, I'd like to see J.J. Abrams a little bit more involved in that, maybe have like a 3-way pizza party with those guys sitting down talking about story and shit, you know? I'd like to have that happen, just so that even though it's not necessarily all helmed in one mind, he at least has some solid influence on what could potentially happen in 8 and 9. So, I don't know. Right. We'll see. We'll see.
Yeah, it almost seems like Abrams was the person that got to ask all the questions. Like, he got to set up, like, what happens to Luke? What happens to Finn? He got to set up all these questions. And then he just kind of, like, passes the ball. Like, it was almost like a game. Like, he dribbled the ball, and he's like, what happens to Luke? And then now he gets to pass the ball to somebody else. To where it's kind of weird that he's setting up these big questions, and then he's letting someone else answer it. And I don't know if that's... And if that's either an ingenious way of storytelling, like to see like someone else's take on like your question, or if it's, you know, something that's going to be kind of disjointed. So I don't know. What do you think, Justin?
I think it'll be amazing.
Awesome. Like it's Avengers? Like,
yeah, exactly. Wait. Well, I mean, it's like when you have an art collection, right? Each piece is different, but you can tell it's all part of the same collection. I think that's how it'll work out. Especially with the Abrams. Especially with Abrams kind of being a producer on it. He'll be able to keep it all under the same umbrella.
Yeah, that is a very good way to look at it. It's kind of like they're doing a stage production of The Hateful Eight now.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm really interested to see, I don't know if anyone else here has seen The Hateful Eight, but I'm really interested to see other people take on those roles that were so expertly performed. But that's neither here nor there. I apologize. Justin, there's going to be like 15 people in the Avengers movies, right?
Dude, so far they got like 67 people on this character board.
That's a lot. Not even 67 actors in Hollywood.
I know. I don't even know what to do with that.
List them all, Justin, alphabetically, by gender and powers.
Start with W. Wolverine.
No, he's in Fox.
Oh, yeah. I know. I think they'll be able to get him, dude. I think that'll happen. I think you're going to see.
Think so?
Yeah, I think you'll see Wolverine in this movie.
That would be awesome.
I think that's how they're going to cap it off. And they'll just jizz everywhere. His claws will be dripping with jizz.
Yeah, all is lost, and then Hugh Jackman comes and saves the day.
But yeah, so according to comicbookmovie.com, the Russo brothers had teased this massive cast at Wizarding World in New Orleans. And... they had said that they're dealing with so many characters, and they are just going fucking batshit crazy with Avengers Infinity War. And right now they have a board with 67 characters on it, and that's just absurd. But, I mean, if you read Infinity War, you know that it's all or nothing, man. It's winner take all. and every hero is called to arms to fucking take on Thanos. So we'll see how that plays out. I don't think they're all gonna make it. I think there's gonna be a lot of deaths. And those Russo boys, they know how to make a good movie, man. Unless you're Randy, you love The Winter Soldier.
They're one for one.
Yeah.
I just need to watch it without falling asleep. I'll probably enjoy it more.
It's pretty good.
It is amazing. Yeah, 67. That's 60-something characters. That's a lot.
That is a lot.
You got five Guardians.
But
you got.
That also means you get a bunch of nobodies that are just gonna fucking die, which is kind of cool. You'll see a bunch of people just get annihilated.
Cannon fodder.
Yes.
Plus, everyone's villain can show up. Yeah. I'm sure Loki will be in it, and you know. The Winter Soldier will be in it. Well, I guess now he's not a bad guy.
But I think Loki will be fighting for the good guys.
Yeah.
Everybody loves Loki. First
one, yeah, I want the first one in, like, everyone has got the shit kicked out of them. Like, they're all dying. Thanos has won. And then maybe the Guardians or someone comes in and, like, just, like, saves, like, gets, like, a momentary reprieve. So Thanos has to leave. And then the last movie is just like a huge melee.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. With, like, bracelets and jingly things. And then it stops.
Huh.
I heard someone's, like, bracelets jingling.
Oh, I don't know. I muted my microphone and took my headphones off.
Jingly things.
I don't have any jewelry on.
Let's stop now.
It's imaginary. Not even moving.
Dave,
the noise is in my head.
Yeah, but
it's imaginary, Mr. T.
I'm looking forward to it.
Is one of the 67 characters going to be Black Panther?
Probably. Now that he gets his own movie, his own motion picture show. No one gives a fuck about Black Panther until they announce that they're making a movie, and then all of a sudden everybody's a Black Panther fan. Funny how that works.
Are they?
I think so.
Yeah. I just think it looks cool. What's all I know name? Is that at one point he bones Storm. That's all.
Chalawala Bing Bang. I forget his name.
That's exactly it.
T'Challa. Chala. Chalawala.
Yeah, it's like Chtlu.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Never been a fan, but whatever. Yeah. I like Mr. Coogler, and Ryan Coogler is going to be directing this beast. So we'll see how that plays out. And we do get to see him in action in fucking Civil War. So we know he's going to be a badass if he's taking on these Avengers. He's got the goods.
Team Iron Man.
Yeah. You don't fuck around.
He's on the bad guys.
Yeah, that's interesting how that works. Even though Captain America is the one siding with a fucking known terrorist.
Yeah. I wonder if they're gonna frame it in a way to where, like, you could pick either side as good, or if they're just going to, since it is a Captain America movie, if they're going to frame it from his point of view that he is right, and Iron Man, Scarlett Johansson, I almost said Scarlet Witch, but then I saved it at the last second, Black Widow, and that they're in the wrong, but...
Right. Well, I mean, you could just ask the question, hey, Iron Man, how many civilians have you murdered? Zero? Oh, great. Winter Soldier, how many civilians have you murdered? Oh, I don't know, a couple thousand? I think you're the bad guy. Problem solved. Well,
Tony Stark made weapons, and the terrorists used them.
Yeah, there's a difference, though. That's one of those.
Did the Winter Soldier kill anybody?
I don't know, I think so.
I think they all deserved it.
Maybe.
I don't
and,
know.
And he was part of a plan to have these hover carriers, or helo carriers, kill every mutant. Right? They tapped into Cerebro, and they kill every mutant. Isn't that what the plan was?
It was. They, like, could target, like, the genome to make people special or something.
There you go. We've seen that movie before, too. That was also in A New Hope.
Was it?
That's what the Death Star is doing. It's targeting all mutants.
They just all run Alderaan.
Yeah. It's like a watering hole. Like a truck stop watering hole.
Like a truck stop bathroom.
That's how you do.
You do.
Speaking of Coogler, he is not going to be a part of Creed 2. Is that correct, Dave? He's too busy? Too busy to be doing Creed?
Too busy rolling around in his money from the first Creed?
His Golden Globe money?
Yeah.
They would probably move on with... What?
What?
Oh, sorry, I thought you said something. That they would probably move on without him because they want to strike while the iron is hot. They're looking at a November 2017 release date. And Stallone at one point had said they were going to Godfather to it, to where they would conceivably bring back Carl Weathers' character, Apollo Creed, Adonis Creed's father, and have like flashbacks of like the two of them like being buddies and stuff like that.
Hanging out.
Yeah, like they would take place like in between like Rocky 3 and 4.
I like when the sound of that.
Stuff. So we'd get flashbacks, we'd get, you know, some Apollo Creed, get some fun stuff, but Stallone's looking pretty old. He doesn't look like in Rocky 3 anymore.
No.
Right, that's the thing. They're going to have to digitally de-age them in a big way or use footage from earlier movies.
Yeah, because he was like 3% body fat.
He was ripped in Rocky 3.
Yeah, they were saying he was 3% body fat, and the Mr. Universe that year was 5%. So he was in better shape than like the Mr. Universe, and it shows. And 3 and 4, he's just like Jimmy.
Yeah, that's impressive.
Yeah, but yeah, maybe you can be the body double, Randy. They'll take your shirt off, and you can be him, and they'll just digitally impose his face on your body.
Absolutely, I don't see why not. There's no reason why not.
There's no reason this shouldn't work.
Yeah. Perfect plan.
Speaking of perfect plans, Justin, you have some fun casting news for us, don't you?
Expendables 4?
No.
What is my casting news? I have casting news?
Jamie Foxx, your buddy.
Oh, my God. I already forgot about this movie. I don't even give a shit. Okay, so I'm sorry. These are even in my notes. Fucking Robin Hood Origins. I remember, like, I don't know, maybe a year and a half ago, we were talking about how they wanted to set up this whole new Robin Hood series, right? Is this tapping into that? Is that what we mentioned a year and a half ago? Was this this Robin Absolutely. Hood saga that they want to go for? Mm-hmm. This is ridiculous. Okay, so this is Robin Hood Origins. And I guess Jamie Foxx is going to play the part of Little John. And the movie's going to have – it's going to pit – Little John and Robin Hood as enemies, just like we've seen them before, where, you know, he's like an outlaw in fucking Sherwood Forest, and then they're gonna cross paths. But in this story, they fought on two different sides of the Crusade. At least that's the early draft. So we'll see how that plays out.
Did you see who Robin Hood was?
Yeah, it's the kid from Kingsman.
Yeah, Eggy.
Yeah.
Executive produced by Leonardo DiCaprio.
Yeah, I don't know about this one, guys. I think the only Robin Hood movie that I even remotely give a shit about is Prince of Thieves. And the only thing that really dates that movie is the haircuts. It's a pretty solid movie when you watch it today.
Yeah, you were underselling it there. The only one you sort of like. I love Prince of Thieves. Yeah. And it's got that sweet Bryan Adams song.
Oh, yeah.
That kind of dates it, too.
I could pass on that, yeah.
But it's a rat. What do you mean you could pass on that? It's Bryan Adams.
You're not helping your case.
You got Christian Slater. Golden Globe Award winner Christian Slater's in that movie.
Oh, there you go.
He won last night for Mr. Robot.
Alan Rickman's in it, which is great.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it's a fun movie. I love it to death, but... that's really the only Robin Hood movie that I even give a shit about.
Cut your head off with a spoon.
Why a spoon, cousin?
Because it's dull.
It'll hurt more.
So funny. Fucking guy at Gizmore.
Yeah, so I'm a big pass on that. I couldn't stand the Russell Crowe version. And I haven't been in a Robin Hood since Prince of Thieves.
Yeah, when you were a kid, when Robin Hood was kind of cool. But it's... Honestly, I can't get any better than Prince of Thieves. It's impossible.
Yeah.
And you are a fool to try.
Yeah, especially if we're banking on Jamie Foxx to bring me in.
Yeah, as Little John? That's not even... Isn't it kind of ironic that his name is Little John because he's a big fucking dude?
That's what it was in all the other incarnations.
So I mean, Jamie Foxx is an average build, beautiful man. I don't get it. There's no irony there. Stupid.
He's just getting all the big parts since he's still slotted to play Mike Tyson in the Mike Tyson movie, so you know maybe he's gonna bulk up.
And how many Mike Tyson movies have there been? I feel like a bunch.
There was like one HBO movie. That's it.
That's it? That's the only one?
Yeah. Which was amazing. Michael
with Michael Jai White, that one?
Yeah. No. Did he play Tyson? I'm not sure if he did. But yeah, it was really good. It was an HBO movie. I liked it a lot. And then Tyson did his, you know, one-man show, Undisputed Truth. And then they just had an ESPN documentary about Tyson Holyfield. It's the only things I can remember.
What can you do?
What about Randy? Randy like loves Robin Hood, right, Randy? You like that more in Star Wars.
Well, okay, funny story. So
this is going already.
Yeah, when Robin Hood Prince of Thieves came out in the early 90s, the toy company Kenner, who made all the Star Wars stuff in the 70s and 80s, had the license to make all the Robin Hood toys. And they reused the mold from the Ewok Village playset, and they made the Sherwood Forest playset. They reused the body of the Gamorrean guard and made him, threw a human head on him and made him the body for Friar Tuck. Yeah. And they took the Ewok battle wagon and they turned it into the Robin Hood battle wagon. They used a lot of Star Wars toys in the creation of all these toys for Robin Hood. So I actually thought that was kind of cool. So for that reason alone, Prince of Thieves has a special soft spot in my heart.
I'm sorry, Randy, the Disney Robin Hood is great too. I like that.
Oh, the animated one?
Yeah. The animated one?
Yeah.
It's
never
fun.
Seen it.
It's pretty good.
Robin Hood, Little John walking through the forest, laughing back and forth about the other has to say. It's pretty fun. Anyway.
Yeah, it's got some good music. Good musical numbers in it. Mm-hmm.
And I hate songs.
Yeah. Except when you write them. You like those ones.
Well, that's just because your heart is black and cold.
I love music. I just don't like it when my characters on the TV burst out into song. That bothers me.
This ain't no Broadway musical.
No.
I think you have a song. It's called Eat a Dick, don't you?
Yeah, probably. I don't know.
Starts with eat a dick, eat a dick, eat a big fat dick, if I recall correctly.
No, that's read a book, read a book, read a book.
Same thing. Read a book, eat a dick.
And I can't take credit for that one. I wish I could, but I cannot. Although that did inspire me to... that unleashed the dragon.
You are musically prolific.
Yeah. It was like the, if you suck my dick, I'll buy you expensive shit. That's what started that.
Which is great because it doesn't even rhyme when you just speak it. You have to sing it and you have to work it. You have to earn that.
I know, but my voice is gone.
I know.
And you can hear it's getting worse and worse as we record this.
Yeah, I hear it going downhill. You know, why don't you let me take over for the next couple minutes, and I'll give you guys a little list. How does that sound?
Fabulous.
All right, great. Cool. So what I've got for you guys this week is 10 disastrous attempts by corporations to turn movies into ads. This is courtesy of our friends over at Listverse. All right, number 10, The Internship is one gigantic ad for fucking Google.
I like that movie.
Yeah, I didn't really mind.
Watch it every time it's on.
So this one's kind of fun. 1987 brought us the very classic Bill Cosby movie, Leonard Part 6. And at that point in time, Columbia Pictures was owned by the Coca-Cola Company, who was also in cahoots with Cosby, had him doing a bunch of commercials for them. So essentially, Leonard Part 6 was a giant advertisement for Coke. And it failed in a big, bad way.
Aww.
The movie did. So it doesn't matter if they were peddling anything because it probably didn't help them at all. If anything, it may have hurt their cause. But Coke survived. Number 8. Everyone remembers the 1988 film Mac and Me, the blatant ripoff wannabe E.T. movie. That was 100% funded by McDonald's. So much so that the trailer for the movie was narrated by Ronald McDonald himself. Did you guys ever see the trailer for that?
No.
Mm-mm. Oh my god, it's crazy.
The movie's terrible, though. I've seen
yeah,
the movie.
Oh yeah. Yeah. If you get the opportunity, just like look up on YouTube, Mac and Me trailer, and it has bookends with Ronald McDonald sitting in a director's chair reading a script. It's just, it's silly. Silly, silly stuff.
There's some actor, I forget who it is, though, but every time he comes on to plug a movie, he brings a clip from Mac and Me to play instead. Yeah, on like the Tonight Show. Sardo's on Conan. He always brings it to Conan.
That's
just
awesome.
Like this part where they're like falling down a hill and he's like screaming bloody murder is so fucking stupid.
That's a good way to ensure the movie doesn't get forgotten about. All right, now this one I wouldn't be surprised if you guys hadn't heard of this one. Number 7 on our list, Summer's Town. It's a little independent film from 2008, and it was all about advertising their new train that traveled from, let me see where.
Oh, it's Paul Rudd, by the way. Paul Rudd, I think, is the one that always does it.
Oh, okay, so whenever he's promoting movies?
Yeah.
So it's a British feature film talking about a railway that runs from, like, France to Britain. And underground, you see.
Oh, the railroad.
So, but anyway,
Snowpiercer.
No, number 6, Food Fight. This movie came out in 2002, and they were trying to cash in on the success of Toy Story. It's 100% CGI from a company called Threshold Entertainment. They were supposed to be the next Pixar, and they thought it would be cool if they did an entire movie about food products and called it Food Fight. But they were also peddling all sorts of kitchen products in there. They had the actual physical representation of Mr. Clean, and Twinkie the Kid came to life. And they were trying to get the rights to have Little Debbie in there as like a love interest, but the company wasn't having any of that. They're like, we don't want Mr. Clean catcalling Little Debbie. It may impede their ability to sell their snack cakes.
I like Little Debbie.
I know you do.
I know. We've gone on many dates together.
Moving on to number 5 on our list, Green Lantern. Now, the toy company Mattel worked hand-in-hand with the production team behind Green Lantern to try to create as many movie tie-ins as humanly possible. They're all about selling that merch. In fact, there's one scene in the movie where there's a helicopter crashing and Green Lantern has to create some sort of track for this thing to safely slide down back to Earth on. And wouldn't you know it, they made like a Hot Wheels version of it. Because Hot Wheels owns Mattel, or Mattel owns Hot Wheels, they made a little track set with a little helicopter and everything. So they did everything they could just to try to milk as much crap out of the audience. And you know what? Sadly, since the movie wasn't very popular, the toys just sat on the shelves. Oh. I remember seeing them in the clearance aisles, and they just sat and sat and sat.
How sad.
All for naught. Number 4, Act of Valor. This is a movie from 2012. I don't know if you guys saw this one, but it was 100% funded and written by the U.S. Navy. It was meant to be a giant recruitment film.
Yeah. I remember that. It was on Netflix forever.
Yeah. Wrapped up as a Hollywood blockbuster. Mm-hmm. This one's no surprise at all. Number 3, Battleship.
Huh.
Was totally just a gigantic advertisement for Hasbro. By our game. Number 2, Need for Speed. So Electronic Arts, the company that makes the Need for Speed video games, was really pissed off about all these licenses of theirs that were basically, they'd have these third-party filmmakers come in and try to make movie adaptations of their games, and they kept sucking all the time. So this time they're like, you know what, we're going to make our own damn movie. And that's how Need for Speed was born.
It didn't do too well either.
No, it didn't. I mean, it was no Fast and Furious.
Mm-hmm. It's the worst thing ever.
It had the one guy from Breaking Bad, right? Aaron Paul?
Aaron Paul.
Yeah.
And Michael Keaton for like 5 seconds.
And that was during that weird period of time where Michael Keaton was semi-retired.
Yeah, you could tell he shot for like 3 days.
Yeah. All right, number 1 on our list, a film called United Passions. It was 80% funded by FIFA, the International Federation of Association Football, and ended up becoming a complete catastrophe. It was a movie just designed to stroke the ego of FIFA, but it was kind of like a biopic, but it just ended up falling apart. So 80% of the $30 million budget was bankrolled by FIFA themselves.
Yeah, they're like the most corrupt organization in the world, too.
Oh, yeah. That is what
they all got, like, they're all going to jail right now.
Well, that's it. That's my list for this week.
It's a great list, Randy.
Woo!
Yay. You want to pull this train into the station so you can get yourself off to bed and start recuperating?
Yeah, that's a good idea. Well, thank you, everyone, for another fabulous podcast. I'm very sad that my voice is gone, but that's because I'm always yelling at you three fucks all the time. How about that? You're all fired. Remember to check out geeklegacy.com for your geek news and reviews. Whilst you're there, check out the other podcasts we have on the Geek Legacy Network. Of course, there's the Comic Corner, hosted by Jeff and Tyler, where they review comics currently on their pull list, find out what's hot, what's not, and where to begin if you're starting in the wonderful world of comics. Then you also have the Pixelated Podcast, hosted by Stephen Janes, and maybe myself, if my voice ever comes back, but who knows. Remember to like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, at Geek Legacy, not at Geek Legacy 1. Those guys are a bunch of fucks that stole our logo. Hell with those guys.
To be fair, they only have like 8 followers as of right now, but in a way it's got to be flattering that they not only stole our logo and artwork, but are also trying to make themselves like the Latin version of Geek Legacy.
If you want my logo, you got to give me a handy. That's the rule. I got no handy, they can't have the logo. Done.
Well, you heard it here first, folks.
There you go.
You like our logo, you want to use it? Send all your handies to Justin Cavender.
Yes, that is it. You have a fun and festive week. Thank you.